Heya! Sewing Club Podcast is recorded on Turrbal and Yuggera country. We pay our respects to the elders past and present.
We're back.
We are back.
How's it going?
Oh, I am great. Now. But earlier I was sick.
Yes. Yeah,
you've not had been a cold all week. And I, you know, when you have a forced break because of sickness, you're like, oh, well, what else can I get done while I'm just at home? And then I'm feeling shame for not doing the sewing thing. And then it's like, well, I'm sick. You can't sew. Just rest.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah. We made it.
A little bit croaky, but I'm back.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. What have you been up to?
Well, I've had my in-laws staying from the UK, so that's been nice. Doing some things with them. And I think the day that we did our interview, both of us were falling apart a little bit.
So yes.
A bit of a shoulder injury, but other than that, life is good. Yeah.
Yeah. And the podcast is, what's this, the fifth episode?
The fifth episode. I can't believe it.
It's going really quickly.
It is, yeah.
And thank you to everybody who has joined the Facebook group. And for those that are sewing along and sharing and asking for help, it's been really great.
Yeah.
So make sure you join the Facebook group if you're interested.
And what's really nice is a lot of the pattern makers that we're actually speaking to are saying, I need to join that group. And then we're like, well, that would be amazing because, you know, if there are questions, they might be able to weigh in and help with those things. So you get to actually speak to the person that's potentially designed the pattern.
Yes. And Gracie Steele is one of those pattern designers. Which leads us to this episode's pattern.
Yes.
Which is the
Gracie Steele Titillating Tank.
I love that name.
I love all her names. She's got some brilliant names, isn't she, for her patterns?
She does. And I want to read directly from the Oxford Dictionary on what titillating means.
Do it.
It is an adjective and it means arousing mild sexual excitement or interest.
Oh.
I love that.
That's and a great name.
She does have a bit of a thing with her names, with all of her patterns. And I know that you have sewn her patterns before. A couple of episodes ago, you were wearing the flirt skirt, the denim one. I love it.
I do. I love her patterns. I think that they suit my style particularly well. I think they're fun. I've loved the flirt skirt. I want to make, you know, quite a few of her patterns. They're on my very long list of patterns I'd like to make. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's just got a really fun style, a really fun vibe, and I think it's great.
To be honest, this tank coming in so many different options, when I saw the line drawings of it and I saw the high neck view, which is the view that you made, I think.
Yes, that's
right. I thought that just looks like your favorite top, like Gemma's favorite ready to wear tank things that she wears and she's wearing right now.
I'm wearing
now.
Today.
But it's basically like the pattern version of your
of
favorite
that.
Top.
Yeah.
So, I mean, great.
So I was very happy to be making it. So I basically looked at the line drawings and went, yep, that's the sort I normally wear.
Yep.
I'll make that. So, yeah. So which version did you make, Kylie?
Well, okay, so I'll describe.
Good idea.
I'll describe. Basically, I feel like even though we're reviewing the same pattern, because this pattern has so many different variations and views, we're actually reviewing a different pattern from each other. But that's what makes this actually a really good, versatile pattern to have in your stash because it has so many options. But the view I made is it's a knit tank. It's got narrow straps and it has a scoop neckline, like a round neckline at the front, and then it has two options for the back scoop, and I chose to do the mid scoop, and there is a lower scoop, and I did it in not the crop and not the long, it's sort of like somewhere in between for the length, and in a tank, not a dress. And what about you?
So I did the wide strap with the high scoop back, and I actually shortened mine slightly because I just wanted it to meet my waistband on whatever I was wearing. Mm-hmm. And then I did go on and I made exactly the same top but in the dress version. So still the wide strap, still the high scoop, but then did the medium splits or slits, I should say, on the dress version. So, and I used a slightly different fabric for that. So
what an overachiever.
Oh, well, I went down a bit of a rabbit hole, actually, I think, with it, because I was just sort of trying different things and different ways of doing stuff. And I think I realised that if I made a dress version of it, one, I would really like it, and two, it would be right up my husband's street as well. So I was like, yes, I should probably make this.
Yeah, I know what you mean about that. Yeah. It's definitely a titillating tank dress, yes. Let's just say.
I don't get a lot of input from my husband about what I wear, but this is one he went, oh, I like that.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I have not made the dress version, but I plan to, because I have seen Gracie's versions that she's made. Even the, you know, the pictures within the pattern page on her website, there's all these different garments that she's made from the same group of pattern, and yeah. They're very different. There's like an evening gown with some sequins.
Orange sequins. It is amazing. Yeah. I'm just like, yes, that's next on the list. A sequin version of one of these. I just need somewhere to wear it.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. I wonder if that's difficult. Probably.
Probably. Almost certainly.
I've seen people online making like yoga tops and also like swimwear from the same pattern. And did you see Gracie's Taylor Swift outfit?
No, I need to see that, because she was talking about that when we interviewed her, and she like literally had to knock it up in an afternoon, didn't she?
You have to check this out.
Okay, well, she's amazing.
I think that she used the titillating tank as a base.
Yep.
And she had all these wedding deadstock off-cut things, and she made this outfit that looks like $1 million. And it's honestly amazing. I don't know how that she just spoke to us and she had nothing, and then all of a sudden she has this beautiful costume. I mean, it's stunning.
Amazing. We need to link that in the show notes, yes. I think, and I need to go and have a look as well.
Honestly. So. Did you manage to go and see Taylor Swift at all during her Australian tour?
I didn't. I would have loved to, but no, I didn't. And I think if my girls had been like really into her, I probably would have made the effort, but They're not really quite there yet. Mm-hmm. So, we didn't.
Yeah. Oh, me neither. My boys are not into Taylor Swift at all. But I did do something that I don't normally do, and I did an alteration for somebody.
For a Taylor Swift outfit?
Yes, yes.
What would tell us about the dress?
I made an exception because it was like a friend's daughter, and she's a teenager, and they ordered something online that's gorgeous, and it fit her perfectly, except that the straps were just too long, needed to pinch out a bunch, like maybe 2 inches from the top. And they sent me a photo, and I said, all right, yeah, okay, come over and I'll see what I can do. Little did I know, it was actually black velvet.
Oh, dear.
So it's a good thing that I really like these people.
Did it go well, the alteration?
Yes, it did. It was actually not as hard as I
thought. Not too much swearing.
Yeah, I just had to do a lot of unpicking of velvet bias facings. And, you know, I got it to fit her perfectly. And then when I saw the TikTok that she did with her mom, and she's wearing the dress and she's just rocking it, made me feel really happy, and I'm glad I did it. But it's not something that I want to do often. Yep.
So nobody asked Kylie to do any alterations for them, or me for that matter, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I have a pile of things I need to do, and I'm not getting to those. So
yeah, no, but yeah. I'm the same.
It takes a very special person and a very special circumstance for that too.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. To the tank and back to Gracie.
We were lucky enough to actually get to interview Gracie and get to speak to her a little bit about her background and how she ended up launching Gracie Steel Patterns.
It was a really fun chat.
She's so much fun. We love her vibe. We love, you know, the names of the patterns, the sort of style of the patterns. She's just really fun and awesome. It was great to chat to her.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of her patterns are inspired by things that you see in boutiques and a lot of ready-to-wear fashion. So I really like that.
And it definitely takes the sort of like nana out of sewing, doesn't it? Let's put it that way. Like it makes it sort of, you know, fun and cool and I don't know, just not too daggy basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Which it can be sometimes. Some people would think that sewing is a little bit nana-ish, right? I've definitely had those comments made to me in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like Gracie kind of completely defies that. So
definitely. Yeah.
She's such an inspiration. But it's interesting because she didn't actually start out in pattern making. So she had quite a windy route to get to where she is today.
I formerly was a podiatrist and I worked my way up in a community health center. I was in like a sort of a managing role. And every day I was like, is this my life? This is a disaster. I hate everything. I'm miserable. And it's like, you know, when you're in a career that you don't necessarily love, do you go back to study and, you know, waste all those years again? Well, not waste. I mean, all knowledge is power, but there's time, there's money, you're making a full-time wage. What next? And you don't want to mess it up again. And it sort of all coincided with COVID. So my husband, then partner, went to Sydney and I stayed in Melbourne for 6 months of the hard lockdown. And I dove into sewing and it was, you know, that enabled me to go, hey, I'm just going to give this a hot crack. The worst thing that can happen is that it doesn't work and I, you know, have to pivot again. But if it does, then I'm living the dream, right?
I think sewing kind of has a way of doing that. I know I started out in a completely different career as a primary school teacher and then obviously had the girls and got into sewing in a big way and it kind of started to take over and more, so I can completely relate to just, you know, making a bit of a 180 change career-wise.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like sewing became a hobby while I was pregnant in the wintertime in Canada, so it was stay out of the snow and sew, I don't know. But some of the pattern designers we've spoken to have like always wanted to be in fashion and they've gone to fashion school and they've gone through that whole route and then found, you know, sewing patterns. And I love that that's not the only route that you can have to make your way to producing patterns, because if you clearly got that creative talent to dream up the things that you want to make and then are able to make the pattern and then make the instructions so it's easy for other people to sew, then you're like sharing the love, and that's really nice. I like that.
And that drive to actually want to put it into, you know, into action. That's impressive.
So, yes.
Yeah, it's great to see.
I feel like she's very driven and she would have been an amazing podiatrist.
Yeah, I'm
even
sure.
Even though she was hating it, but I'm glad that she swapped over.
Yeah, we're glad about that.
So the name, Titillating Tank, we talked about that earlier.
Yes.
But all of her names are so fun and they have a bit of a rhyming element.
They do.
So I'm going to run through the names just because we can't not, because it's so fun. So we've got the Foxy Boxies, the Roving Romper. Now, that Roving Romper is basically this tank but in a romper.
Oh, cool.
And I love it. I think I'm going to make one of those to wear under something else. The Flirt Skirt, which is the denim skirt that you have. I love it.
Yep.
The Frolic Frock.
I like that too.
Yeah. And the Tata Twist Tank. We were looking at that one as potential for
episode, yeah.
But we decided to go with the more basic style. The Adrift Shift, the Blooming Bustier, and there's a new one that is called the Shirley Sherd Dress.
Yes, and she taught us how to pronounce, well, she taught me how to pronounce Sherd correctly, which was great.
How would you?
I probably would have said sheared in the past, which sheared. Is incorrect, yes.
I don't know if it's necessarily incorrect, but Gracie did say that she wanted to, you know, educate people with the pronunciation of the word sherd. So Shirley Sherd.
Shirley Sherd.
I like it. And we could literally talk all day about tips for sewing with knits because there are so many different ways of sewing with knits. But we did ask Gracie for her top tips.
There is one line that says, seam helps knit seams. And that was like a bit ominous. So I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, science time, right? So what's interesting, so rubber actually, the molecules of rubber shrink under heat. And so this is why we want to be careful with like how often we put things through the dryer that have got rubber components in them. And that's why like elastic will wear down over time. And, you know, we should be cold washing and hanging things. But yeah, for the most part, it's just the steam helps to reset the original shape at a molecular level. So
you're talking about like the elastic that we're putting in the
Yeah, because like, you know, sewing those seams, unless you've got the proper tension on your machine and the proper foot and, you know, all of that. So many times, like when you're sewing a seam, you might accidentally, especially if you're inexperienced, it'll stretch out and it'll warp. And so you'll end up with this wavy seam. And unless you want a lettuce hem, you know, you want to be able to try and fix that. And so that's where you can try and manipulate it back into shape with the steam.
Mm. So if someone didn't put the elastic in there, if they went, oh, no, I'm just going to do it without the elastic, what's going to happen?
Well, still the same, because if they're using the right knit that has the stretch and recovery component, it's still important. So again, and unless they've just sewn it all with the exact right tension and everything, but I'm a huge believer in pressing all seams. You know, you should press as you go, and that's going to give you such a nicer finished garment. Or not necessarily press as you go, but press when the pattern tells you to press, so that everything sits where it should and lays and hangs. And yeah, it's just going to give you such a nicer finished garment if you do.
We always like to ask about what's coming from the pattern makers, and we ask Gracie what she hopes 2024 will bring, and it sounds like there are some really exciting things up and coming for her.
Definitely.
I think the last couple of years have taught me a lot, right? You know, I've spent this time building up the library of patterns, and, you know, with each one comes new learnings and building the community and, you know, growing the social media network and all of that. And so I think this year is going to be about consolidating that, I suppose. I'd like to put a bit more of a focus on, you know, being consistent with social media, putting a bit more of a focus in on the marketing and content creation, and then just play in general. You know, I don't, for a while there, I was trying to create a new pattern, a new product every month, and it was just work. And that took a little bit of the joy out of the creativity of sewing, which is, you know, why we all do it. It's that mental health space that we get into when we're creating. And yeah, so probably prioritizing a bit more play and sharing. So we all make to our higher self, right? Like we're all making things that we envision, like she would wear, the person that we want to be. And so that's going to continue pretty much. And the person who I am now is a beach babe who is growing a babe. And so I am going to be exploring more of the maternity friendly sort of styles and the postpartum, and it'll still likely be predominantly summer, and I want to dabble in a bit of menswear for obvious reasons. My body will be changing and I need a model who's going to be, you know, standard for a bit. So the boys are getting lucky this year. Yeah, lots of growth.
Ooh, that's very exciting. So congratulations
to Gracie. Yeah, so exciting.
A new baby, yay. Very exciting. And awesome. Maternity patterns. Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
So many things coming up.
Yeah, there's lots of really exciting things. And I think the move as well to Sydney could bring some really exciting swimming patterns too, or swimwear patterns. So, Ooh. Yeah, it's good.
Nice.
Exciting.
Yeah, and we did want to find out the essence of her design and her patterns. So we asked her, what would be three words that would describe Gracie Steele pattern?
So, what I am trying to go for is versatile, and in that versatility with fabrics, right? So different fabrics can lend themselves to different things. You can make it casual or you can make it dressy, which also sort of leads into timeless. Like I want you to collect my patterns and keep on reinterpreting them as the time goes along. And then the other one, which maybe not style-wise, but I feel like it's still a part of the pattern DNA, is skill building. So I like to have extra little things that are a bit different in each pattern as a new challenge, so that, I mean, I learned how to sew mostly from sewing other indie designers, and so I would always look for a new pattern that had something that I haven't done before or had a different method. And I don't think that there's necessarily one right way to do anything, and it's cool to explore and, you know, think creatively about that. So versatile, timeless, and skill building.
Oh, and a little reminder that you can get this pattern at a 25% discount on graciesteele.com, and the code is sewingclubpodcast. Tell me about the very first version of the tank that you made.
I'm laughing because it didn't go so well, Kylie.
Mine neither.
I picked the wrong fabric. And for me, I think this is a theme that runs through sewing with stretch fabric.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really hard because there are so many options out there. And mm-hmm. even if you know the percentage of stretch of a fabric, it isn't necessarily going to act the same as another, say, fabric with 60% stretch.
Too true. And very true.
I picked a fabric that was too firm, I suppose. It mm-hmm. was too like a workout fabric. So I've ended up with a pretty good gym top.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't the kind of top that I would want to wear day to day. And whether I would really wear it to the gym, it probably needed a little bit of tweaking, actually. So it was a bit of a journey for me to get to where I needed to go with my final top in terms of the fit and the correct fabric.
I think that's expected. I think that if you're making something new with new skills and things like that and a different fabric and a different pattern that you've not used before, it's almost, you know, a bit unrealistic to expect that the first version is going to be perfectly wearable and perfectly fitting and all of that, because unlike a woven garment, you can kind of try it on or you can hold the pieces up to your body and you can see how they sort of fit before you even cut the fabric. But with the sewing and knit, you don't really get a chance to find out if it fits properly or is right until you've completed most of the garment. And at that point, you know, you're already that far in. So, yeah, I just made some mistakes. But I feel like a knit garment, if you're looking at something that you are seeing in a shop that's made by people that have made hundreds, if not thousands, of that garment, so it's perfect, and you yourself are going to have to sew a couple of those garments to get the finish that you're looking for. I don't think that you can expect yourself to get it right first time, yeah. Especially with, you know, all the issues with fabric.
And I think one of the key things to mention here is that when you're dealing, you know, holding up pattern pieces, for example, you talked about with wovens, often with stretch garments you're dealing with negative ease. So those pattern pieces are actually smaller than when they're going to be worn by you. The fabric is going to be stretched out. So it's there's lots to think about. Holding up pattern pieces, things like that, it isn't going to be a straightforward process. Mm-hmm. And the other thing to bear in mind is even if you make a toile, unless you make it out of the same fabric, you're not going to get the same results.
Mm-hmm.
And actually because I went on to make the dress version, because I just didn't know how much stretch this particular fabric I was using for the dress was going to have, I actually just cut the biggest size and used my stretch thread and sewed it. And then I just, where I needed to, could then just take it in.
That's a great idea.
And for me, there's lots of different ways of sewing knits. I mean, you can use a stretch stitch on a sewing machine. You can use an overlocker. You can use like a Seraflex or a Mariflex stretch thread. And I hadn't used the stretch thread that much before. And I have to say it was really useful from a fitting perspective, because you could just run a long stitch off and be able to put it on over your head without any stitches popping.
Mm.
And it worked really well for that.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I think that even if you're experienced in overlocking, which I am, I tried to make my version with the thin straps with overlocking. And then I needed to kind of go back and perfect the corners with a sewing machine. So, you know, that's an option as well. But I think if you were trying to make the narrow strap, if you've got a sewing machine that can sew knits with a stretch stitch, or you're using stretch thread, what's it called? Seraflex?
Yes, Seraflex is the one that we sell by Mettler. We do also sell the Gutermann one, just a few of those. That's Mariflex.
Mm.
Very similar. The only time I had a little bit of trouble with it was when I was wanting it to do a zigzag stitch when I was attaching the elastic to the shelf bra. And I think that's because it hasn't been designed to be used as a zigzag stitch, because it stretches anyway.
Mm.
But that, it was fine. It would just occasionally just break or start to fray a little bit in the needle, and then I'd be like, have to rethread it. The other tip I wanted to give as well, Kylie, just thinking about it with the overlocker,
mm-hmm.
is that it's always worthwhile just increasing your differential feed
mm-hmm.
by about 0.5 when you're sewing with knits.
Yep.
Because it helps feed the fabric through and not stretch things out as much. So if you are sewing it directly with an overlocker, which I do think is quite tricky, then yeah, that's definitely worth doing.
This fabric that I used is, I think, probably perfect for the garment that I'm trying to make because it has a lot of stretch in both directions. So they call that four-way stretch. And not only is it stretchy, but what you have to consider with this is the recovery. And the recovery is the fabric's ability to be stretched out and then return to its original shape. So, you know, I'm trying to make a garment that has a shelf bra to sort of hold everything in place and feel secure. So you need to have that recovery. And the recovery is from the elastic component in the fabric. So I don't actually know what the percentage is of this. I bought it when I was in Melbourne at Tizzuti, and it just feels lovely. And I bought enough of it that I can make a second tank. So this is my first one. It's not perfect, but I'll make the exact same tank again, you know, so that it's, you know, finished how I like it.
Yeah, great. And with the version that I made talking about recovery, and Gracie does touch on this at the beginning of the pattern, she says, you know, you need to take into account the stretch of the fabric, the recovery of the fabric. But when it came to putting in the elastic around the arms for me, with some fabrics, it was too much. Probably because I've got a little bit of, you know, excess skin under the arms there. And I don't necessarily want elastic digging into that. So I think that's worth, you know, you do have to think about those kind of things as to whether or not you want the arm to be really, really firm or not. And that will depend on the fabric and very much, as you talk about, the recovery as to how firm it's going to be when it, you know, stretches back.
And then you've got, and then there's like so many things because there's the overlocking stitches of this. This actually gives it a little bit more stretch and it gives it a little bit more recovery and it gives the right amount of stretch and recovery for the arm side area that I don't feel that it needs any elastic in there. And I would probably be, I'd say try really hard to find something where you don't have to add the elastic because the elastic, and I think if you just stitched this with a machine and you had the seam allowance that was just raw fabric, you'd get a different feel and finish as well. And maybe if I did it that way, I might need to add the elastic. So I think it's about using your scraps, sewing with all the different, you know, machines that you have and different stitches and different settings until you get it just right before you actually sew the garment because knit garments are a beast.
And I think the more you sew, the more you probably end up doing that. Like the more experience you have, the more you go, well, I'm not just going to go straight into my garment here. I'm going to, even with a woven, you know, put your thread in, you know, check your stitch length, all of those things. Does it look okay? You know, that's just a, but stretch fabric is a whole nother ball game because there's so many different options and so many different like compositions of the fabric.
Yeah.
I guess there is in the woven world too, but I don't know. It just seems to make more of a difference to the outcome of the garment because I guess it's just, you know, stretches.
Yep. So I think what I'm going to do in the second version of this tank is actually just sew it with a stretch stitch on my sewing machine and I'm going to use some of that thread.
I've got some for you.
To give me.
Yeah, I have.
And then it's almost like I'm going to treat it like a woven. I'm going to sew the perfect seam line on it and then I'm going to overlock the edges and then it will hopefully give me all the properties that I'm looking for, which is the firmness of the seam, which gives it a little bit of elasticity, but the perfect lines of using the sewing machine because, you know, you can get a little bit more precise with the machine.
But I don't want to put people off here, right?
Yes,
because once you get this right, once you get your pattern right and you know how it's going to, how your fabric's going to behave, it's actually the quickest sew.
Yes.
Like sewing with knit fabric is quick.
Yeah.
Like I made the dress version, I can't remember how long it took me, but not long at all, to the point that like my family was saying, oh, you made that already. I was like, yeah. You know, once you've got the fit, it goes together much quicker than woven. So Definitely. It's kind of like, you know, the trade-off.
Yes. One of my friends exclusively sews knits.
Yeah.
Because she can whip something up, you know, it stretches to fit. If you've got a bigger bust, no bust alterations because if you're choosing the right fabric, you can stretch over.
Yeah, although I did do a bust alteration.
You did?
I did. So I made it first and I just knew it was going to fit better if I did a bust alteration. Mm-hmm. I also very slightly lowered my neckline, okay, just a little bit. Mm. But other than that, it was as per the pattern.
Yeah. It does say on the instructions that it's a beautiful intro to sewing knits. I think I this agree. Is an ambitious intro to sewing knits, but yeah, if this true. Is the garment that you like wearing, then you should persevere because you're going to get really good at it when you practice.
And it's a tank top. So it's something you are going to wear or could wear every day. And I have to admit, a bit like your friend, I like wearing knits on a day to day. You know, I will either have a t-shirt or, like, as we said earlier, a tank top on, and they're all knit fabrics and they're kind of easy to wear often.
Yeah. Definitely. And I mean, one of the reasons we chose this pattern was because we previously just made the Chloe bias skirt and we thought, hey, why don't we make a nice tank to go with it? And this has multiple options. And yeah.
And funnily enough, we're both wearing them today, Kylie.
Yes. Not the tanks, but the skirt.
No, the skirt, the Chloe skirt. But I mean, I think a sort of example of you know, how sort of overwhelming it can feel with the fabrics is, so for my pink fabric that I used for my top was an Eco Vera rayon spandex jersey. So you kind of go, whoa, there's a lot of information there to take in. Effectively, it's 95% viscose, 5% elastane is what it said, okay, when you looked it up. And Gracie did touch on the fact that, you know, a fabric with 5% elastane in is a good kind of fabric to use for this top.
Yeah.
So that's something to bear in mind when you are picking your fabrics. The teal dress that I made was a double knit rayon poly spandex ponte with 85% polyester, 12% viscose and 3% elastane.
Okay.
So, you know, you read that, particularly as a beginner, and you go, well, what does that mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
And how much stretch will it have, you know?
Especially if you're buying online.
It's probably worth us talking about, I think a lot of people probably know how to do this, but just in case you don't, assessing the percentage of stretch in a fabric. Mm.
And there's a handy, it's part of the pattern
it is.
Where you print it out, and it's really good.
Yeah, so basically what you need to do is take ideally two layers of the fabric, and I just usually hold one finger by pinching the fabric on the zero with a ruler on the zero and the other one on the 10 centimetres. Hold your two fingers pinching the fabric still on the zero, very stable, and pull out the fabric to see how far it gets to. And if you get to the 5, then that's a 50% stretch. If you get to the 15, if you get to the 16, that's 60% and so on. So that's how you assess your percentage of stretch. Does that make sense,
Carly? Yes.
Have I made sense?
It does. And then you have to watch what happens after you stretch it as well to work
out. Does it
out?
Go back to where it was at the recovery? Absolutely.
Because if it's got that amount of stretch, that's all well and good. But if it doesn't recover, then you're going to get saggy
tops
over
yeah.
time, especially when the fabric warms up on your body, it will sort of sag out more.
And that's when you do want to make sure you're putting the elastic in places, because otherwise it's not going to, you know, you wash it a few times, you dry it a few times, don't put them in the dryer. You're not going to have the same top that you had when you first sewed it.
There's so much to unpack here.
Yeah, there is. There really is.
We were like, oh yeah, we'll do this. We'll do this basic knit tank pattern because it's going to be so versatile, and it is, but our experiences sewing it we really don't want to say shy away from it, but we didn't have a home run on our first go, and
I think that's what puts people off sewing knits often, and I don't think it's the actual sewing, and I think we should probably just cover a few key tips for sewing knits, but it's dealing with the fabric and the fit, I think, that can be sometimes easier with stretch fabric because you can just sort of almost stretch it over your body.
Yes.
But not always.
No.
So I guess, like, key tips, Kylie, for sewing with stretch fabric, obviously a stretch needle in your sewing machine.
And that's different from a ballpoint needle. So a ballpoint needle is the bluntest of all the needles. And then you've got like a universal needle is also a slight ballpoint. And a stretch needle has actually got a sharper point because it needs to pierce through the elastic component in the fabric. So sometimes if you're trying to sew a fabric with elastic in it, elastane or spandex, and it keeps skipping stitches and you're using a ballpoint needle, that might be why.
What else is really important? Let's think. So obviously, if you're just using normal thread and you're not using the stretch thread, you need to use a stretch stitch because otherwise you'll go to put the garment over your hair, particularly if it's tight fitting, and the stitches will pop.
What's your favourite stretch stitch?
Well, it's kind of like a bit of a lightning bolt.
Okay.
But I don't tend to use it because I think I've been converted now to the elastic thread. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
But yeah, previously it kind of just has a very tiny little...
Oh, okay.
Do you know?
Yeah,
the
I know
one
that
I mean?
One. I like the triple stitch one. You know, it's kind of like, I think it can be used as faux top stitching on a woven.
That would be good. I didn't even
but
know
it does
you could
work
use that.
Well on a knit fabric to give it a quite a firm but still stretchy seam, and it kind of goes back and forth and back and forth.
Well,
and
it
takes a while to sew things with it because you're just like. Come on.
Three times as long.
Yes. Yeah, three times as long. It feels like that's just life, you know. Yeah. You take a couple of steps forward, take another one
and
back.
And stretch stitches are a bit like that, aren't they? They all take a little bit longer because they're kind of like, you know, really making sure it's there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think other tips.
I think there's also a misconception that like an overlocker is like somehow superior to sewing knits with a sewing machine. And I started sewing knits with just my sewing machine. I didn't even have an overlocker in the beginning. And now, you know, both of us, we've both got overlockers, we've got cover stitch machines, we've got all the things. But ultimately, like, you can sew all of this on one sewing machine and it's not going to last any longer because it's made with an overlocker. That's actually not true because I made lots of things for my kids with just a sewing machine that held up through rough boy play and things like that.
Absolutely. So. And also sometimes the overlocker adds unnecessary bulk.
Mm.
And also it's worth knowing that knits don't often fray.
Yes.
So you're not having to overlock it necessarily for that reason. Mm. So if you need it to be a really flat seam on a shoulder or something like that and you don't want the double overlocking when you're lining or putting the facing in, you know, you can just press the seam
open,
flat and open. Yeah, exactly.
That's going to give you a nice finish because on your version of the tank, there's the seams all sort of meeting right on the shoulder.
Yeah, they do.
Which will add a lot of bulk.
One tip I did want to give for my one relevant to the view that I did, which is the high neck with the wider strap, is when you're sewing, if you're sewing on your sewing machine, rather than sewing your shoulders from one side to the other side, start in the middle of your shoulders because sometimes the machine can suck in the fabric if it's right on the edge. So I just would start from the midpoint and sew out and then flip it round midpoint, and that got me much better results.
Mm. It's nothing worse than your machine eating your fabric.
Eating your fabric and then having to like dig it out of
And you're like trying to pull it like, you're trying to like really tug it and it's just not coming out.
And there's always a hole and then you'd cry and then, yeah, you have to take a sewing break. So that's my tip.
Yeah. I think for me with mine, my tip is definitely, at least on the front neckline, especially where the strap meets the bodice, that part needs to be pretty spot on. Otherwise it's going to look weird because the strap really needs to have like a smooth line following from the arm and the neckline into that scoop, and it looks beautiful when it's done properly. And my first one, I did it just straight with the overlocker. Pretty much one side was good and the other side looked interesting
and
bulky and a bit bulky.
And I think with anything like, you know, creating a strap, something you haven't done before, as we said at the beginning, get your scraps, practice it, see what it's going to look like. Buy a little bit extra when you're getting a stretch fabric because there's a very good chance you might be recutting a strap or something like that. So that would be my advice. Have a play and just see how your fabric reacts in these different situations.
And then there's like another layer that we've got to talk about, and that's the shelf bra, because you're either making a fully lined or a half fully lined, like a half lined shelf bra, which is the view that that's what I wanted to make, and you made one of those in your tanks as well.
Yep.
That if your outer fabric is not giving the right sort of support and recovery, that you could choose a different fabric for the lining. So if you, because obviously the shelf bra part needs to give you the right amount of recovery and negative ease to hold everything in place and to be comfortable. So if you don't have the perfect fashion fabric, but you've got some other fabric in your stash, and it might just be a scrap because you don't need a lot for the shelf bra, you could use that. And there was another suggestion to use power mesh, which is something that is used in swimwear and lingerie, and that has even more like a firm hold. You could put cups in there as well. So you've got all of that to play around with. And if you're worried about the join along the neckline showing the other fabric that's not exactly the same as the fashion fabric, you can still understitch with the seam allowance to the inside of the garment. And then that should pull, especially the neckline, that's probably the main part where it will flip over.
Yeah.
The arms, not so much, but the neckline, yeah, definitely. I think what I'm going to do is make a dress and try the power mesh, because it sounds interesting and I wanted to give it a go. And
yeah,
hopefully you share on the blog.
The understitching definitely helped to get my shelf bra to roll in. Sometimes what I would have to sort of put my arms up inside and pull down the shelf bra a little bit into position to then roll in the neck. But it once that was done, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, you just gotta get everything into position.
Exactly. Everything in place.
Yeah. I think that it sounds like we had like kind of a tumultuous like experience sewing this, and just want to say that it's actually a really great pattern with really good instructions. And I don't know, it sounds like we had a fail.
I think it's really unfair in a way, because I mean we've rated it really, really highly and we think it's a great pattern, but I think what we're touching on here is not really the pattern. It's the challenges of sewing with stretch fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to be avoided, because you get some really good results with stretch fabrics. You know, you've just got to embrace it. You've got to put aside a bit of time and just, you know, take the deep dive into sewing with stretch, and just, you know, you never know. You might have an awesome experience. You might find the perfect fabric first time round. And
totally.
You know, it's a great pattern. It's a great top. And the instructions and everything are really well written and guide you through the whole process. But there just might be some tweaking to get your fits that you're wanting, I guess. But one thing we should talk about, Kylie, is which label you used.
I chose to use the Capsule Collection label for this because it's such a wardrobe staple. I think that I will get lots of wear because it's a neutral colour. It's a chocolate brown. It's not a colour that's in my wardrobe very often, but I'm liking it because this is a bit different from black, but it's still in that same kind of color saturation. It's like that darker color.
It would really suit you, definitely.
Yeah, and I just think that Capsule Collection reminds me that to wear the garments over and over again, and that I will be able to build on the wardrobe, like build other garments into a collection, and they can all be interchangeably worn. That's the whole idea of a capsule collection. So that's why I gave it that label. What about you?
So for my pink top, I used handmade just because it's, well, obviously it's handmade and nice and bright and really stands out on the pink. And then the blue one, circa 2024.
Yes.
Better get a few of those in my garments so that, you know, I use them before the end of 2024.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's always the thing. And then at the end of the year, I'm like, oh, I'm going to put these into everything.
But it is nice to have a little, you know, when you pull that dress out in years to come, oh, yeah, that's because, you know, the years go quick and you forget when you make things. So it's good to have that little reference point.
Oh, yes. We started doing them in 2020, which was a monumental year. And, yeah, I find dresses that I made, yeah, and it's nice to look back and go, oh, this. And it's same cool. with when I make the kids' things. You know, I'll make them pajama pants or whatever, and then I realize how much they've grown in that time.
So you do so for your children sometimes?
Yeah, not going out clothes. They kind of have their own idea of what they want, which if you have boys, it's pretty much just like sports clothes and, you know, can't really replicate Adidas.
No, don't worry about that. It's better things to be doing with your time, right?
Exactly, but they do love some cozy PJs.
Cool, that's nice.
Mm. Do you sew for your daughters?
I used to sew a lot more, but I think we're entering into the phase where it's less required. You know, they like the idea of going shopping. But I do have a tradition that every birthday I will let them pick something and I will sew them something.
That's nice.
So my eldest daughter, Anya, has picked to have a white top with puff sleeves, which I think she was inspired by our sagebrush top. She wants a top like that. And my youngest daughter usually asks for a big princess fairy dress, which I always go, oh, okay. takes me hours, days of sewing, but yeah, it's very cute.
There's lots of things that I really appreciate about this pattern. Like, I really appreciate the fact that when you go to cut the shelf bra, there's three separate cutting lines for different cup sizes. And I like that it has a small seam allowance, which is 6 millimeter or 1/4 inch. For knits, I think that's appropriate. And I just really think that it's such a versatile pattern. Like, I can see myself using this for so many different applications. Like, I think you could make a really nice slip dress for winter.
And
you could wear it under other things, or you can make, you know, a full evening gown.
Yeah.
Or you can just make something versatile for the weekend. Or yeah. Once you've got this pattern down and you understand how it goes together and what's the perfect fabric for it, I think this could be a TNT pattern.
Absolutely.
That you just go, okay. And then when you're out shopping and you see the perfect fabric and you think, oh, this would work perfect for the titillating tank, and you bring that home, like, you could whip one up really quickly because you know what you're doing.
Yes.
I think that's the beauty of this pattern, and I have high ratings for it. And we should mention that we have spoken a lot about the challenges that we had sewing the garment and how, you know, selecting the fabric is really important. So we're rating it based on the actual pattern and all of our criteria.
I think you'll see from our ratings that it is a really, really fantastic pattern. And as I said earlier, a lot of what we've talked about is, you know, the challenges that come with working out how to sew with knit fabrics and getting a good fit in that sense. So, but the pattern itself is really good.
Yes.
And that will be reflected, I think, in what we're about to, in the ratings that we're about to give.
Yeah. I was pretty impressed with the sizing. Myself being small, petite, I often make the very smallest sizing of most of the patterns that we've reviewed.
Yeah.
And this one I made the size C. So that means that it's very inclusive on the bottom end of the sizing, and which means that if you do have teenage daughters that you've got versatility in this pattern.
Yeah.
Because there aren't a lot of teen patterns around.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And it's pretty, I mean, I would say it extends up to what is a size Q.
Which we look
equivalent to a sort of a size 30.
Yeah. We think it's about a 30. So about a 00 to a 30. So that's really quite,
quite wide. I think that's pretty good. So we gave that a 4.5 out of 5.
Yep.
What about the drafting?
The drafting's pretty spot on. The only thing I did notice when I'm looking at people's pictures that they've posted online is that sometimes on certain people it tends to run a little bit narrow in the front.
Yeah.
So I'm narrow in the front, so that works for me. But if you know you're broad in the chest, that you might need to add something to the center front.
Yeah, true. I think that's a good point.
It all goes together well, all the lines and everything are necessary, good markings on the
Absolutely.
Pattern, and so many options. Well, I'm going to give that a 5.
5, agreed. Okay, instructions. I mean, there is a lot of instructions here, and it's very thorough.
Very thorough.
Lots of tips.
Yes.
You know, and I think Gracie really does try to give as much information as possible about fabrics and recovery and stretch and all of those things. You can't really do much more than that.
No. And there's lots of resources available as well.
Absolutely.
That she's provided. So I think we definitely are going to give that a high score.
Yeah. So I think a 5.
A 5 for instructions. They're very, very clear.
Difficulty. This is an interesting one, isn't it? I think this comes with a bit of a disclaimer, really, because it depends on the fabric.
And it depends on the view as well.
And the view, yeah. I mean, it's fairly quick and straightforward, but it's just the fabric that adds those potential levels of complexity.
Yeah, I think I'm going to rate it a bit difficult because I made the view with the straps, the thinner straps. It does require a lot more precision sewing. So I'm going to say it's a 3 out of 5.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. 3. I mean, this was definitely probably more straightforward, the actual process of sewing it, the wider strap. But again, you know, there are, let's say, levels of complexity there. So I think that's a good score.
Mm-hmm.
Price.
Well, it's $22 AD.
Yeah.
That's a
pretty good.
Yeah. You're getting more than one garment. You're getting three different tops and a couple of different dresses. I think that's very good value for money. So we'll say that's a middle range.
Yeah,
so
middle range. Two dollar signs.
Lastly, what do we give this pattern overall in Sewing Club stamps?
We give it 4.5 Sewing Club stamps.
It is a cracker.
It is. It's great.
Hi, Sally.
Hello.
What have you got for us next episode?
Okay, next episode is the Smeltron dress.
Woohoo!
By Paradise Patterns.
Love it.
So if you want to head over to Sana's new website, paradisepatterns.com, and you'll get a discount at checkout for the Smeltron pattern dress.
What's the code?
The code is Sewing Club Podcast.
Great.
As always.
I'm very excited about
this. Yeah, me too. It's perfect Brisbane climate attire, I think.
It's still hot here.
Yes. So thanks so much for listening, everyone. We would love it if you could join our Facebook group, the Sewing Club Podcast Community, where we can share our makes and tips and tricks along the way.
And we have an Instagram as well, which is sewingclub.podcast. We have feedback forms attached to that. You can see our garments in the wild. We post videos there and we love hearing all the feedback, so keep it coming.
We'd love it if you could subscribe, rate, review the podcast. All of that helps to get this podcast to as many people as possible.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Hello.
Hey.
Are you still here?
Hey guys.
Are you still listening? Well, there's a little bit more. Thanks for hanging on to the very end.
Okay, so this is just for fun, not to worry about the answers, but it's a bit of this or that. So I'll ask you whether you prefer one thing or the other thing. So first of all, pins or clips?
Pins. Absolutely. Unless I'm using leather.
Good point. Do you like your snacks sweet or savory?
Oh, I'm a sweet tooth through and through.
Day sewing or night sewing?
Ooh, wherever the largest amount of hours are clumped together.
Yeah. Hot sauce or ketchup?
Oh, neither. I'm only vinegar. That's my only sauce.
Oh,
it's not
like
even
it.
A sauce. Yeah.
I don't think that's a sauce.
Bro.
I know. So neither.
Neither. Okay, bra or no bra?
Oh, I am free the boob. Yeah.
Yeah.
Free the boob. We'll see how long that lasts. But yes.
Wow. Yeah. Rule follower or rule breaker?
I think rules can be interpreted as guides sometimes or suggestions, and it doesn't hurt to think outside the box. So I want to say breaker.
Like it. 90s grunge or 2000 boy bands?
Oh, definitely grunge. Absolutely.
Yeah, like it.